for a lumber yard, and he had been stealing lumber. And so the minister said, "How much lumber?" And he said, "Well, I built a house, and then I built my son a house, and I built both of my daughter's houses, and also built a cottage." And the minister said, "Wow, there's going to have to be some kind of restitution. You're going to have to make this right somehow." He said, "Have you ever thought of a retreat center? Like the idea of going to a retreat center to reflect on where you're at and what's going on?" The man said, "No, I never have. But if you can get me the plans, I can get you the lumber." At some point, we need to deal with the hidden things in our lives. Let's pray. Draw close to us, our good and great God. Whisper your words of life into our ear so we can live according to your word. We want to please you with our words, our thoughts, and deeds. All we are and all we have, we want to freely give to you. We praise the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been preaching out of the minor prophet Malachi. Today, Malachi 2, 10 to 16. Ernie will have it up on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. Malachi 2, 10 to 16. "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our ancestors? Judah has been faithless, and abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughters of a foreign God. For the one who does this, may the Lord cut off any witness or advocate from the tents of Jacob, or anyone who could bring an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this you do as well. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor at your hand. You ask, 'Why does he not?' Because the Lord was a witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did God not make them one flesh with spirit in it? And what does the one desire? God the offspring? So look to yourself and do not let anyone be faithless to the wife of his youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and covering one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to yourself and do not be faithless." Have you ever done anything you probably shouldn't have, and then later on it came back to bite you? A few years ago, when our dog Pasha died, I decided that we should bury him on our farm yard in Bruderheim. It was winter time, and so it was impossible to dig a hole, so I kept our wonderful dog safe in a cool barn. As things started to warm up, I took a drive across the field to our forest to see if things had thawed enough, but it was still too frozen. I went 2 weeks later, and things were starting to melt, and everything was going fine until I realized the ground underneath me was moving, and it wasn't snakes like from the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was mud. I went partway to my destination and realized I was in trouble. I was driving the Prius with its high-powered engine and hoping somehow I could get back to dry land of the farmyard. Even slight inclines, I was in danger. If I got stuck, there was no way to get out. I had no cell phone then. My cousin lives a couple miles away. I would have had to walk there, and even then, I didn't know how he would get me out unstuck without completely ripping up the field. Sometimes we end up in situations just because we're naive or lack experience. Other times we get in trouble because of making really bad decisions. The latter is the situation that Judah finds himself in. The nation has just spent 70 years in exile because of their wicked behavior toward their own people, the widows, the orphans, the foreigners, and by completely rebelling and defying the one true God. But the Lord mercifully uses an ungodly king named Cyrus of Persia to return them back to their homeland. Another 100 years has passed, and Judah continues doing what Judah knows best, hurting God and hurting others. When do we wake up and try a new path when the old one always leads us away from God and his goodness. Today we'll look at God's third dispute against his people in the minor prophetic book of Malachi. In each of the disputes, God makes a statement, and then the people of Judah disagree, and then the Lord has the final word as to why this is true. Malachi 2:10. Have we not one Father? Has not one God created us? Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our ancestors? The first two questions in the verse are actually rhetorical. They're meant to draw the audience in. Have we not one Father, or are we not children of the same Father, meaning the God of heaven and earth? And the obvious answer should be yes. The second question, has God not created us? Are we not created by the same God? Again, the obvious answer should be yes. Now the third questions are harder to answer. Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our ancestors? If they said yes to the first two questions, then why are their actions betraying them and how they're behaving? There are certain guidelines and boundaries and framework God has put in place to allow us to live our lives to the fullest and the way we were created to. When we step outside of his direction, it usually ends up souring our relationships with God and each other, mainly because of selfishness and sin. Malachi 2:11. Judah has been faithless. An abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married a daughter of a foreign god, or by marrying women who worship idols. What is happening is the men of Judah are dumping or divorcing their wives so they can marry younger women who are from other cultures that worship false gods. Can anyone see a problem with any of this? First of all, marriage was designed by God. Genesis 2:23, and then repeated again in Matthew 19:5 and 6, where Jesus affirms marriage. The context is the religious leaders are trying to trap Jesus and ask him if it's okay for a man to divorce his wife for any reason, like burnt toast. Jesus responds by saying, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. Since they're no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. God wanted us to have a dynamic, intimate relationship with another human being where we could experience love, acceptance, and forgiveness. This was also to give us a picture of what God's love is really like. In this patriarchal society, if you were a woman without a husband, it was almost impossible to survive. A woman could not divorce a man. Only a man could divorce his wife. Jewish men prayed every day, thanking God that they were not a Gentile, not a slave, and not a woman. Could you imagine what a fragile and a vulnerable state a woman would be in if she was divorced by her husband? We can completely understand why God was so upset with this wicked behavior. Malachi 2:12, 13. For the one who does this, may the Lord cut off any witness or advocate from the tents of Jacob, or anyone who could bring an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this you do as well. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor at your hand. Malachi is saying, for anyone who behaves this way, they should be completely cut off from the people of God. To act with such evil intent is to be anti-God, to be anti-Christ-like. Although these men are acting completely against God's laws and his ways, they're still bringing offerings in some religious way, trying to appease the Lord so he'll bless their lives. They cry and weep on the altar because they realize the Almighty is not paying attention to them. Do we do this? Live in whatever way we want, but we still want God's favor. So we do religious things like praying, reading the Bible, going to religious services, giving our resources. Are these bad things? No. But when our heart is far away from God and we have no interest in changing our way, all our offering that we're giving up are mere platitudes. Have you ever had someone flatter you with a goal of manipulating you to do something for them? They want to borrow your truck to move their things. They want money. They want your support to defeat their enemy. They're often saying words that have no meaning or purpose. And when the dust clears, they're nowhere to be found. Or worse yet, they've ripped you off in some way. In the first four verses, God declares a dispute against his people for their wrongdoing. In Malachi 2:14, we get the people's response. Why does he not? Why does God not accept our sacrifices? They've gone through the motions of doing the things which should please God, so why is he not pleased? When your parents told you to pick up your laundry and your dirty socks off the floor because they wanted to make sure your bedroom still had a real floor and you rolled your eyes. But someday when a girlfriend or a boyfriend comes over, those discarded clothes now disappear quickly or were cleaned up. Quick note here. When you're trying to hide your dirty laundry, do not put it in the oven because you might forget it and there's some things that will start a fire later on. What was the difference from when our parents asked us and then much later, under different circumstances, we were willing to clean up ourselves? It had everything to do with motivation. I don't want this person to think I'm a slob. And it might be a good idea to keep my clothes off the floor as a permanent resident so I can actually vacuum and keep the place clean. Malachi 2:14. Why does he not accept their sacrifice? Because the Lord was a witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant, marriage vows. I will not do a wedding ceremony if I cannot say that God is present. It is the most important thing that I can represent or say. You are not alone in this marriage. For this marriage to work, God has to be a central part. Before God, these couples vowed to be faithful to each other, death to them part. Mike Carey says, people often remember the parts they want to remember, for better, for richer, for health. But often our minds drift when we get to the for worse, for poor, for sickness. God knows all and sees all, and nothing is hidden from him. How we treat each other, how we act toward our spouse, nothing's hidden from God. Malachi 2:15. Did God not make them one flesh with spirit in it? And what does the one desire? God the offspring? So look to yourself and do not let anyone be faithless to the wife of his youth. In our marriage, we are to become one mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And then we might also have children that can grow up with an example of parents who love God, love each other, and love their children. I was brought into a situation once where two couples who had small children, and they decided to switch partners after some drinks at a New Year's Eve party. Someone tipped me off the day before that they would be calling. And I felt like God gave me some kind of direction of what to say. Neither of the couples came to church. I asked for two single pieces of paper and said, this is what we're like when we're single. And then we get married, it's like gluing the two individual pieces of paper together and becomes one piece, just thicker. And I said, when we try going into a different marriage or relationship, we need to detach from our first marriage. And so I asked them to try to separate the papers that have been glued together. And this is what happened. They shredded. We were never meant to be ripped apart. And there were not only going to be consequences for them, but it would also be hard for their children. I want to give some context here. Marriages can be very complicated situations. And there can be a variety, a host of reasons why people end up getting divorced. But what this particular text in Malachi is dealing with is the men from Judah divorcing their wives to hook up with younger women who are not serving the one true God. Malachi 2:16, for I hate divorce, says the Lord of hosts of Israel, and cover one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to yourself and do not be faithless. The New Living Translation says it like this: to divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty. So guard your heart and remain faithful to your wife. These men of Judah were to have the same commitment to their wives as God had committed himself to them, as he loves them. Frank Warren wrote a book called The Secret Lives of Men and Women. What happened was he was going through a tumultuous time in his own life, and he came up with an idea. He got 300 postcards, put his return address on it, put a stamp on it, and then just randomly handed out to people. And he said, "Would you write me your secrets anonymously?" And they did. He was shocked. Postcards started coming back. After 100,000 cards came back, he stopped handing them out. This is all in his book. I'm going to read you two of the postcards that came back. One postcard had an old picture of Santa Claus with two boys on his lap. On the picture was written the words, "I wish my sons would contact me." Another one where a man had taken a picture of his hands praying and written on the picture, "I don't know how to go back to God, and I want that more than anything else in the world." Both cards were about finding your way back home. One from a father's perspective who missed his sons, and the other from a lost son who could not find his way back to his heavenly father. The only reason Israel existed as a nation was because of God's grace and mercy on their lives. Without the Creator God's continual involvement and participation in their lives, they would have been like all the other pagan nations. So what set Judah apart was that God called them his people, and they called him their God. But what happens when the Israelites oppose the Lord of hosts and they live their life without God being the center of their existence, their compass, making decisions that hurt all the relationships around them, and they hurt God and ultimately destroy themselves? In 1 John 4, 19-21, it says this: "We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, 'I love God,' but hates a fellow believer, that person's a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? And he has given us a commandment: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. We do not know how to love each other the way we should without first experiencing God's love for us. Sometimes people from the outside looking in see the inconsistencies in our lives and are wondering, 'What's up?' How do Christ followers live their lives in contrast or opposite with what God teaches through the Bible?" Rob Reamer's book, Soul Care, he talks about dealing with the secrets we have in our lives. We all have secrets. They'll remain powerful and work against us until they're brought to the light. God wants to free each of us from the broken things that have happened to us and the broken things that we have done. But this all starts with a desire to want to change, asking God to come by his Holy Spirit and reveal the things that need to change, or to allow the past hurts to surface so our loving God can heal and free us. If we're not honest and do not come clean with the hidden things in our lives, they will eventually surface whether we want them to or not. In Luke 18:8-17, it says, "For all that is secret will eventually be brought to the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to the light and made known to all." The light of God's Spirit is always a good thing in our lives. Have you ever been in a room where it's pitch dark and someone turns the light on? Our initial response is, "Don't do that!" Initially, we don't want the light. But if we don't have the light, it's really hard to see. Last night, I got up and I ran right into the Hope Chest. And all night, my leg hurt. And I woke up this morning and thought, "My leg hurt. What happened?" Oh yeah, I ran into something in the dark last night. The light of God's Spirit is always a good thing in our lives. He wants to heal us and free us from the hidden things that we often hang on to that can bring damage to our very souls. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are for us and not against us, and that you want the very best for us. Each of us wants your freedom and healing in our lives. And so we invite you to do a work in us. Reveal the things that separate us from you and others. And do your restorative and healing work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Announcements, benediction, we'll sing one more song and you'll be dismissed. This week, coming Tuesday night, as Wayne said, is men's group, Wednesday morning is ladies group, Wednesday night is youth, Thursday night is soul care, and next Sunday we're going to have some child dedications, so you won't want to miss that. Okay, so Carrie doesn't know I'm going to say this, and she's not here, and I don't know if she's going to watch the service, so we might be okay. So when I was dating her, or we just started dating, and I was living in Edmonton, she was living in Calgary, but I had to go to 100 Mile House to do a youth camp on 3 days. And so, I mean, my word, it was primitive. You had to canoe to an island, and there's no way off the island, and there are all these youth there. And there was no, let's say, modern bathroom facilities either. So on my way back from 100 Mile House to Calgary, stopped in to see Carrie, and when I left, she was warm, and I only had a couple minutes to see her, and hugged her, and she was completely cold to me. And I drove home thinking, I have no idea what just happened there. She later on called me and said, well, I don't think you had a shower for at least 3 days. Really? No kidding! There's something about getting clean on the outside and on the inside. And the wonderful thing about God is he doesn't bring these things up in our lives to embarrass us, humiliate us, torture us. He actually wants to do the opposite of that. As you go, go under the sign of the cross, knowing that Christ has come to actually set us free. He wants us to live the way that he designed us to live. And that only come as we allow him to come in and do the work that he needs to do in each of our hearts. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing this last song?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down. I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. You've done for me.
Amen. Go and have a fantastic week.